This program contains material or language which may be considered objectionable. Parental guidance is suggested.
Survey time again. Is everybody here to see the original, to see the Black and White Express? And then it says, one more for the good guys.
Showtime.
It's showtime.
You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
You are tuned in to SNS Unplugged, your source for pro wrestling discussion.
Because our time is now! Because the champ is here!
Wrestling news sponsored by Wrestling-Online.com.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Movies and entertainment, and the occasional conspiracy theory. With your hosts, all the way from New York City. The Bronx Father, Tony J. Mirabella, and residing in Calgary, Alberta, Canada,
Mr.
Money on the Mic.
Say hello to the bad guy.
Jeff Jackson.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Unscripted, uncensored, unbelievable. It's Unplugged.
Why didn't I take the blue pill?
We are the best in the world at what we do.
And it starts now.
I paid my dues time after time. I've done my sentence, but committed no crime. And bad mistakes, I've made a few. I've had my shins and kicks in my face, but I come through. And I need to go on. We are the champions, my friends, and we'll keep on fighting.
I'm telling you guys, somebody just didn't want this show to happen tonight. I just don't know what to tell you. Last week, JJ unfortunately was sick. His kids were sick. And now this week, JJ of course got sick because his kids were sick. So it's just been, somebody is trying to prevent this show from happening. And when I find out who, they will pay. I am, of course, Bronxzilla, Tony J. Mirabella, going solo tonight for the reasons I just mentioned. Thank you so much for joining me tonight on this Wednesday, hump day, a little bit late edition of Unplugged, but we're here, we're live, hopefully, and all is well. Oh, man, I'm telling you. Hope everyone's good. Monday Night Raw last night, man, was just, well, 2 nights ago, was just unbelievable. The ending, we're going to get into that in a little bit. the day in wrestling history, of course, with Sean Beckerman. He's going to give us what happened a couple years ago, or with knowing Sean, it could be several hundreds of years ago, because Sean goes back there, I'm telling you right now. And WrestleMania season, getting into high gear. Vince McMahon making a ton of fucking money. All kinds of shit going on. Possibly, Triple H being inserted into the main event at WrestleMania. No, I'm not high. Triple H, possibly, being inserted into the main event. Can you believe it? It's crazy. Anthony will be joining me to talk a little bit of NXT in just a little bit. But you know what? Being the present seems to be fucked up. Let's go back in time with Sean Beckerman and hear about the past on this day in wrestling history.
Welcome back to This Date in Wrestling History. Let's go back in time and relive some retro wrestling. This week, let's rewind back 25 years ago, the year 1989. A young Japanese pro wrestling phenom named Keiji Muta made his way to the United States, where he was introduced to stateside fans by Gary Hart as the Great Muta, the son of the Great Kabuki, whom Hart managed earlier in his career. We all witnessed this 25 years ago on World Championship Wrestling Television. In true Gary Hart fashion, and only as Gary Hart could, he hit all the right points to make the Great Muta's WCW debut a successful one.
All right, Gary, this man is an individual that we have heard very little about, other than he is a very dangerous weapon.
Well, you know, I have a great deal of respect for the people from the Rising Sun, the most honorable, the most well-trained, the greatest athletes in the world you and I know come from Japan. We all know that the yen is number one. As you said, he is a master of all the martial arts. Most people only know kung fu. He knows them all. He is the most unique, the most devastating, the most dangerous individual that I have had in my charge for quite some time. I give you my personal guarantee. And once the people of America have an opportunity to see the versatility of this young man, they are going to be in absolute awe. I give you my personal guarantee, don't turn off your set today, because if you want to see the greatest import that the Orient has ever sent, the greatest wrestler from Japan, watch it and believe it. It's a new era in wrestling on TBS, and you better get ready for it, because he's as bad as they come.
In 2001, WCW Greed was the final pay-per-view event held by the company before it was purchased by Vince McMahon and the World Wrestling Federation. In the main event, Scott Steiner defeated Diamond Dallas Page in a Falls Count Anywhere match to retain the WCW World title. 5 years later, in 2006, we all witnessed history as the WWE/WWF returned to NBC with Saturday Night's main event. Fans, don't forget to catch Beyond the Bell, your pro wrestling nostalgia podcast, each and every week on the SNS Radio Network. For This Date in Wrestling History, I'm Sean Beckerman signing off. Until next week, stay old school, my friends.
Man, I love hearing about old WCW stuff, hearing those old interviews. It was funny, I was talking to someone about this the other day, about missing WCW. And now, of course, slowly but surely, everything's being added onto the WWE Network. And it's great to be able to go back and watch some of those old moments when we still had competition before Raw was fucking 5 hours. And it was just, it was cool, man. You had an alternative. Now, well, your only alternatives are pretty damn sad. Unless, of course, you're a Ring of Honor fan. But, you know, it drove home to me as we transition into some Monday Night Raw. It really drove home to me how fucking just long it is now. I mean, Monday night we went about 3.5 hours, damn close to it. And I'm thinking to myself as it's going on and on, I love the ending. I really did. But it's just so long. It's too much. It's almost like it's a chore to watch Raw now, because while I do like wrestling, on a Monday night, I don't necessarily want to sit there for 4 hours. You know what I'm saying? I kind of miss the 2-hour Raws. We're never going to go back to them. I know that. I've accepted it. But I mean, wow. So let's go over what happened Monday night. A lot of stuff happened. So let's kick it off with the Raw reaction.
Now get the guns, the drugs, from my generation, I'll take the fall.
You will react.
Triple H comes out to start off Monday Night Raw and says, when this is all said and done, it's your fault, the fans. Now I'm going to crush your dreams and end the Yes Movement and Daniel Bryan, but I've had a week to calm down. And tonight, I want to talk to Daniel Bryan face to face. Now Batista comes out and says, well, you think you got problems with Daniel Bryan, but you've got problems with me too. Who the hell do you think you are giving Daniel Bryan a chance in my match? Hell, I might not even win the title now and not even get pinned. Randy Orton comes out and says, I gotta agree with Batista. So Triple H says, you really think this is gonna turn out to be a 3-way match? You don't think I can beat Daniel Bryan? And he says, Daniel Bryan's gotten into both of your heads. And Batista says, well, he hasn't gotten in our heads as much as yours. Randy Orton says, you know what? Give me Daniel Bryan tonight one-on-one in a no DQ match, and I'll do what Dave couldn't do last week. And Triple H says, okay, match made. Randy Orton says, these people are cheering Bryan because they don't believe in you, Batista. Orton says, when you left, no one cared, and when you came back, no one cared either. But Batista says, the reason they love Daniel Bryan is because as champion, you suck. You've only got those titles because Triple H helped you along the way. Now, Triple H tries to leave, and both guys say, wait a second, you're not leaving till you fix this. And Triple H fucking loses it. He goes, you know what? I'm sick of everything around here. I'm sick of people cheering for Bryan. I'm just sick of it. I'm tired of Hollywood movie stars coming back to tell me how to run this business. And I'm sick of technically gifted guys who can't win without me holding their hand. You know what? The old man was right. You can only trust yourself. And there's definitely going to be a triple threat match. Because when I beat Daniel Bryan at Mania, I'll be in the triple threat for the title. And Batista eats an RKO. After the break, Batista's shown walking out of the arena saying coming back here was a huge mistake. First match, the Real Americans versus the Usos, and the Usos get a good start. The Real Americans make a comeback. Jimmy Uso's tagged in. Cesaro with a backbreaker for a one count, and then Jimmy Uso off the top to Swagger for a two. But in the end, the Real Americans win as Cesaro hits the neutralizer. Decent little tag team match. Kane is shown taken out by The Shield on SmackDown, and now live, Kane tells The Shield, look, we all made some bad decisions, but if I can't count on you, then the authority can't count on you, and you cease being an asset and become a liability. Can I count on you guys tonight? And Dean Ambrose says, we're united, and Roman says, you better believe it. Kane says, do what you're told, or you'll see how replaceable you are. Now, Being it's St. Paddy's Day, Hornswoggle is giving out stuff to the crowd, which prompts Bad News Barrett to come out. And he has some bad news. Most of you will spend this stupid holiday getting drunk and vomiting, and then you'll wake up with a hangover, realizing you did shameful things, and will spend the rest of your lives regretting them. Okay? Now, Christian is on commentary during the Sheamus versus Titus O'Neil match. And Christian is going to be in the Andre the Giant Royal Rumble. And Hornswoggle's on the outside during this match as well. Now, in the end, Sheamus wins with the brogue kick. Sheamus is interviewed and says, Happy St. Patrick's Day. And he's entered into the Andre Battle Royal. And again, Christian throws Sheamus into the steps. And Sheamus eats a kill switch on the outside. Does it ever end? Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be on Raw next week, which I'm pretty stoked about. John Cena comes out and he says he's been here 12 years and had over 3,500 matches. I've spent a lot of time with all of you, and sometimes, like an old married couple, we get along, sometimes not so much. But I've always given you my best, and you know what? I'm actually afraid of Bray Wyatt. I'm afraid of who he is and what he stands for, but what really scares me is some of you guys are actually listening to what Bray has to say. Whenever I faced anyone, it was about who's best in the ring, but all Bray wants to do is destroy everything. He's trying to convince you I'm not who I say I am and that I'm filled with evil, and to hell with that. I'm afraid, but I believe in everything I've done. I will fight for my legacy at WrestleMania. Now, of course, the Wyatt music hits, and here comes Bray. And he says, Children believe in superheroes. They wear costumes to believe the world is good because they haven't lived long enough to know everything is a lie. My childhood wasn't rainbows and butterflies. The world gave me scars, and it's my birthright to have them. Fire is hot. Blades are sharp. Everything I love will wither away and die. I could be just like you, John, sign autographs, kiss babies, go home to my plastic girlfriend. That's all good, because you're right. I'm different than anyone you've ever faced, and at Mania, I don't care if I die, as long as the world sees you for what you are. Follow the Buzzards. Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan in a no DQ. Excellent freaking match. Bryan takes it to Orton on the outside, and the commentary during this match sucks so bad that it's a blessing to be fucking deaf. Bryan dives to the outside to take out Randy Orton. Now Orton hits Bryan with a kendo stick, and Orton is beating up Daniel Bryan pretty good with the kendo. It's all Randy Orton in the beginning. Bryan finally gets some offense in. Orton is beat with the kendo stick on the outside for some retribution and kicked into the timekeeper's area. Orton then hits Daniel Bryan with a chair, and out of nowhere, Batista spears Randy Orton. Bryan kicks Batista in the face and gets the pin on Randy Orton. And then in the end, Randy Orton eats a Batista bomb from Big Dave. So Dave apparently didn't take his ball and go home. He took his ball and kicked Randy Orton's ass. Paul Heyman comes out, and he's here to illustrate the point that the last few victories the Taker had, he barely won. He barely survived. Brock Lesnar has already dominated all those opponents, and he shows some footage to prove that. Taker's getting older, and it's getting harder for him to win. Now, Brock Lesnar is shown in this video, and the video puts him over, showing all these opponents that Taker has had that Brock has beat. And at Mania, says Paul Heyman, the streak shall rest in peace. Now, backstage, Triple H says he just wants to talk to Daniel Bryan like a man. Stephanie tells Triple H he needs to understand what happened last week. Bryan disrespected the McMahon legacy. And what happens when you become the champion? What happens to our family when you're constantly on the road? Stephanie says, you better take care of this tonight. Goldust versus Fandango. And during this match, Goldust keeps messing with Fandango by pretending to dance. He even messes with Summer Rae, and Summer Rae falls off the apron and is caught by Cody Rhodes. And she doesn't seem to mind this very much at all. In the end, Goldust gets the win over Fandango, and Goldust looks pissed after the match. I think Fandango might have botched a move, and Goldust is busted open a little bit as well. Now, Kane comes out, and he says it's his responsibility to represent the Authority. Last week's Occupy Raw stunt has no damn place in this ring, and it was dangerous and it violated safety codes. On behalf of the Authority, I investigated this, and I've deduced that Daniel Bryan couldn't have pulled this off by himself. A native of Tennessee used his connections to make this happen, and now we have to take action. Kane calls Jerry Lawler into the ring, and the Shield comes out. The Shield tells Jerry the King Lawler to get in the ring. And Kane tells the King, look, we've known each other for a long time. I know you're not in fighting shape, and I won't enjoy this. Well, maybe I will a little. Kane asks Jerry if he has anything to say, but first Rollins tells Jerry Lawler, I see that look in your eyes. I got a good feeling Daniel Bryan's not coming out to save you. But the Shield always does what's best for business. All three members of the Shield slowly turn towards Kane. Jerry Lawler gets the hell out of there, which I don't blame him. Kane starts talking shit to the Shield, and he gets beat down, speared, and triple power bombed as the Shield hold hands in the ring. Kane, you made some bad enemies, brother. Naomi and Cameron versus AJ and Tamina with the Bellas on commentary. Naomi's wearing this fancy eye patch, I'm assuming, to protect her injury. Naomi impressively gets the win with a split-legged moonsault. Now, AJ Lee gets pissed off at Tamina and says, I always lose when you're out here. I haven't won since you've been out here. And Tamina will have no more of this. And she pushes AJ down. Mr. T is going to be inducted into the 2014 Hall of Fame. I pity the fool who doesn't like Mr. T getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. All right, that was terrible. The Big Show has entered the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. And now we have an eight-man match, Big E, Big Show, Dolph Ziggler, and Mark Henry versus Rybacksel, Damian Sandow, and Alberto Del Rio. Now, Big E takes it to Ryback. Ziggler's in there with Ryback now. Ziggler with multiple drop kicks. We come back from the break, and ADR and Dolph Ziggler are still going at it. Ziggler rolls up Ryback out of a suplex for a two count. This was beautiful. Ziggler taking a lot of punishment until he finally tags in the Big Show. And the Big Show squashes Damian Sandow. And then the guys keep throwing at each other out of the ring. And the Big Show gets the win with a choke slam on Damian Sandow. So our baby faces go over in what was a fun little eight-man tag. Batista is asked, so you haven't quit? And Batista says, I've never quit anything. And I'm back to win the title. Kofi Kingston, well, I guess you could say versus Bray Wyatt. And during this, we have this video package for WrestleMania with John Cena and Bray Wyatt to the Eminem song Legacy. This was a beautiful video package. Bray absolutely destroys Kofi Kingston. I don't believe Kofi Kingston got in 1 second of offense. Kind of feel bad for Kofi. Now, our ending segment, which lasted only 75 minutes, Triple H comes out and he calls out Daniel Bryan. And Daniel Bryan comes out and Triple H thanks him and says, you know, since SummerSlam, you and I have been going back and forth, and everything I've done to you is because it's just best for business, man. But last week, you crossed the line. And it's a huge burden to take care of this company. But you know what? I'm willing to let it go. Because of all the crap I've thrown on you, man, you just keep coming back. And I'll give you your props. And in 3 weeks, we're going to step in the ring together and we're going to fight. And I'm not going to apologize for what I do to you. And Daniel, you shouldn't apologize to me. I have no choice to do this. I have to put an end to this yes movement. And he says, there's no hard feelings, though, and may the best man win. Triple H wants a handshake, but Daniel Bryan leaves him hanging. And Triple H says, it's okay, because I probably would have done the same thing. I've done everything to you, and you're still standing here, and the fans are chanting because they respect you. Anyone else would have folded and gone home. You got a big set, not PG, and you've earned my respect. Now, Stephanie comes out, and she has a bunch of cops with her. And she says, what Brian did last week was illegal. You endangered the lives of the fans, and I'm pressing charges. You spit in the face of my family, and now you're going to face consequences. And the cops go to arrest Daniel Bryan, and Triple H is pissed off. He says, come on, man, I have this. I told him this wouldn't happen, and this isn't what I wanted. Just let him go. And he and Stephanie are arguing. Finally, Triple H runs into the ring after Daniel Bryan is cuffed and says, come on, guys, get out of here. After all, you're not even real cops. What happens after this is probably akin to, oh, felonious assault, as Triple H fucking decimates Daniel Bryan. Any horrible thing you can imagine Triple H did while Bryan is handcuffed. He gets thrown into multiple things on the outside, the steps, the table, and then while he's near the ring post, Triple H with a vile chair shot, which looked like it hit Bryan in the freaking head. And Stephanie was even shocked by this, but then she's all smiles. Her and Triple H kiss in the ring, and a still handcuffed Daniel Bryan eats a pedigree as Triple H screams, this belongs to us. There is no yes movement. And just a brief note in the post show, Daniel Bryan is carted out on a stretcher with Bree very concerned as he's responding to nothing. So there you have it, man. Very interesting, very long Monday Night Raw. Triple H, he got me at the end, man. That was a good sell. Good sell from everyone. Now react to that. Man, where do I start? Wow, Cena and Bray Wyatt is getting just more and more exciting. That video package was great. If you guys, I don't know if it's available online. I think it is. I think you can see it now. It blew me away with a great Eminem song, Legacy, playing in the background. I like John Cena's promo. I like the fact that he admits, yeah, I am afraid. This guy's fucking crazy. Well, John Cena didn't say he's fucking crazy, but you know what I mean. This guy isn't like anyone I've ever fought before. I'm liking it. I want to see with the two and a half weeks we have left, what kind of mind games Bray Wyatt's going to play on John Cena. This is kind of where I think they wanted to go with the whole Kane-John Cena thing when Kane told him, embrace the hatred, stuff like that. But this time I think it's done right. Bray is going to be able to pull this off now. Do I think that Bray Wyatt's going to beat John Cena at WrestleMania? No. If he does, I would be shocked. But I really do think that Cena's going to put Bray over. Again, you don't have to win to be put over. And I think Bray Wyatt's going to come out of WrestleMania looking like $1 billion. And I'm looking forward to that match. I'm loving the buildup on Raw. They're really doing a good job. Now, The Shield. I'm kind of thinking that for right now, they put the kibosh on that breakup because it seems like they're more unified than ever. And it also seems like they're tweeners. I knew they weren't going to beat up JR. I knew they weren't going to beat up King. So used to JR being the one getting his ass kicked as far as commentators go. And, you know, that slow turn towards Kane. And Kane basically dropping a deuce in his pants when he realizes he's about to once again get his ass beat down by the Shield. You know, it's funny, guys. They're talking about this whole possibility in the rumor mill, if you will, of bringing in the Ascension for WrestleMania. Now, you don't have a lot of time left, but here's the deal. Kane needs somebody. I don't care how big and bad Kane might be. You're not going to go up against three other guys. you're always going to lose no matter what. So if Kane is going to wrestle at Mania, and if it's going to be involving the Shield, obviously he needs somebody. And thus far, he hasn't recruited anyone. It also seems like the Authority has kind of just left Kane hanging. I mean, there's been no repercussions for the Shield for the shit they've been doing to Kane. They beat his ass down on SmackDown. They beat him down 2 nights ago on Raw. So, I mean, where else can you go with this? Kane needs backup. Various shots taken at CM Punk again last night. You know, Batista, 2 nights ago, Batista pretending to walk out. And then, of course, he comes back and, you know, he cuts that promo where he says, well, I've never walked out on anything in my life. And some people are saying, well, you walked out of the WWE. Well, yeah, he did, but his contract was up. When your contract's up, you can leave. So there was one barb kind of thrown at Punk. Then we have, you know, the Rhodes brothers. It looks like they're pausing that breakup as well. They seem to be pretty solid. I don't know. I wanted to see that match so bad at WrestleMania. I think they're making a big mistake by not doing it. It looks like it's not going to happen. The Andre the Giant Battle Royal. We've got several participants in there now. A lot of people are saying the Big Show is the guy who's going to take it. I don't know, guys. I mean, just because he's a giant. Look. It depends how prestigious they want to make this. And from what I'm seeing, they're making it pretty damn prestigious. So here's my thing. The Big Show really doesn't need it. I don't know. It's really an open book on this one. I know he's the favorite. And, you know, even the commentator sold it as Big Show's the favorite. You know, he's the biggest guy there. Who's going to throw him out? You know, how's that going to go down? I could almost see a guy like Ziggler getting it if he's out of the doghouse, I hope. We'll see. But I like this 30-man Battle Royal concept. I love the trophy. Trophy's great. Mr. T, a pity the fool who's pissed off by Miss T getting the Hall of Fame. I like that. I think it's going to be real cool. I hope it's Hogan that inducts him. If it isn't Hogan... It would be rather entertaining to have Piper do it. Could you imagine a promo between Piper and Mr. T? That could be pretty damn good. Maybe even Hogan and Piper. I mean, who knows? I don't know where they're going to go with that. But I'm glad T's in. I think he deserves it. He was a big, big part of the early days of WrestleMania. So people out there were hating on it. Meh, get over it. Fucking Drew Carey's in there. So... he's going to be in the celebrity wing. It's not the end of the fucking world. Man, what else from Raw? The beginning and the end. You know, Triple H, I have to admit, he sold me. He sold me because Monday night I'm sitting here and I'm almost thinking, and if they did this, it's brilliant, that they let the show go late on purpose, because I'm looking at my clock. Now I'm on Eastern time and it's like 11:06 and Triple H is still putting Daniel Bryan over in the ring. You know, all the shit I put you through and you're still, you know, you're still kicking and nothing I do can discourage you from, you know, going after the title and all this and that. And I'm like, wow, the show is going to end this way. And then Stephanie comes out. The quote-unquote cops come in there. And again, Triple H is selling that he's pissed off. He still had me. I know I sound like a mark, but he still had me. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, what the fuck? I can't believe this. And of course, Triple H lays down that line, well, you're not real cops. Now, in the reaction, I really didn't do it justice. I can't even do it justice now. How freaking horribly Triple H beat down Daniel Bryan. You know, if Daniel Bryan shows up on Raw next week, the realism for me is out the fucking window. There is no way. I wouldn't even have him show up. I don't even know. Well, this is a hard one. If he doesn't show up on the Raw before Mania, people are going to be afraid that he's not going to be at Mania. What I would love to see done, and here's how I'd do it. The Raw before Mania, the go-home show. Triple H comes out towards the end and says, well, Daniel Bryan looks like he's not going to be able to show up for WrestleMania, so by default, it's going to be a triple threat with me, Batista, and Randy Orton. And then Daniel Bryan's music hits. The crowd loses their fucking mind. Daniel Bryan comes out. He cuts a promo talking about how you tried Triple H. You beat me down, but you couldn't. Our match at Mania is still on. And then you have to do that because then you get the buy rates for Mania for the people who still need to buy it. I think that's the route they're going to go, but I don't want to see like Daniel Bryan wrestle on SmackDown or even Daniel Bryan come out next Monday night. You know, to me, that would completely, it's like when John Cena gets beaten to a bloody pulp and then, oh, next week on Raw, he's fine. No, Bryan got his ass handed to him. I don't know how you can not legit get seriously fucked up taking bumps with handcuffs on. You know, usually you see guys thrown into the steps. Obviously, they put their hands out. You see guys thrown into the barricade. They put their hands out. Bryan couldn't put shit out. He was completely at the mercy of Triple H as far as Triple H protecting him during that whole thing. And we saw a side of Triple H that we haven't seen in a long time. Stephanie, she sold it brilliantly. Just a complete bitch. And I said it on Facebook. She's every man's worst fucking nightmare. Just that complete evil woman. And then I like how when Triple H slams Daniel Bryan in the fucking head with the chair, Stephanie's like, oh my God, what the hell did you just do? And then she got all hot in the drawers. And then she's cool with her man again. And they give that nasty, sloppy kiss, which wasn't PG at all. Don't know how they got away with that shit without people complaining, but it is his wife. So the setup for Mania, what they did now is they've made it even more obvious to me that Daniel Bryan has to go over in his match against Triple H. You insert Triple H into that triple threat, he's not going to win the title. No way. I can't see Triple H either being in the triple threat, and I sure as shit can't see him winning the title. So I think they're really giving it away. There's no fucking way Triple H is going to beat Daniel Bryan at Mania. But all in all, it went too long, like I said. The commentary is just getting worse and worse and worse. It's really a shame I just can't mute Raw. It's fucking brutal. You know, I don't know what the fuck happened to JBL at some point during that freaking Raw where he just didn't know what he was saying. It seems like they were all like a little bit, you know, not on the same page. And then they recovered. But I'm also a bit tired of the guest commentators. You know, I want to stress something here. Back when I started watching wrestling, what you would do is you would have people do backstage interviews. They do it a little bit now, but not to the level they did back then, where you would have a guy like the Warrior or Hogan or Savage or whoever cut like a, you know, 5-minute promo backstage about what they were going to do to their opponent at the next pay-per-view or the Saturday night's main event or whatever have you. What's really odd is it's almost like they do that now, but they do it on commentary. You know, the Bellas on commentary, and now we had the New Age Outlaws on commentary a few weeks ago. They do it a hell of a lot on SmackDown too. And there are some wrestlers who should not be on fucking commentary, and it distracts from whatever match is going on. You know, go old school. You want to tell me how bad you're going to kick someone's ass at the next pay-per-view? Do it backstage. You know, I mean, you've got, oh God, what's her name? Renee, I'm sorry. You've got Renee. She's a great fucking interviewer. Have her do this shit. Stop fucking with my commentary. I don't know. It's a little pet peeve of mine that's pissing me off more than not. I don't know about that. The commentary is just fucking brutal. As far as a letter grade for Raw, I'll give it a straight up A minus. It was a great show. It's not getting a straight up A because of the length of it. I think that they could have cut some shit out and did that ending without us going to like 25 after 11 Eastern. But they're really got me interested in WrestleMania right now. I even liked what Batista did. As much as we've been crapping on bitch titties for the last couple weeks, I enjoyed his segment as well. Ending brilliant. Yep. The road to WrestleMania. And WrestleMania is going to be long as hell, too. Really long as hell. And we're going to get to that when we read some news in a little bit. Right now, going to take our first commercial break. When I come back, I'm going to bring on my tag team partner from Get in the Zone, Anthony Farley. He's going to talk a little bit of NXT with us. We're going to talk some news, take your emails. I'm even going to, if my fucking internet doesn't explode, or Satan doesn't rise from hell, or the skies don't empty of the angels, take some phone calls later if you guys want to call in. So with that said, don't go anywhere. I'll be right back, hopefully, with more Unplugged here on the SNS Radio Network. JJ, please come back.
Let's go to our ring announcer.
Wrestling fans, your ring announcer here, Sean Beckerman, and I'm proud to present to you the Pro Wrestling Nostalgia Podcast that's taking the IWC by storm beyond the bell. On each edition, we cover a different theme, taking you back in time to relive the greatest and worst in professional wrestling. We go behind the mic, where you will get backstage stories from the perspective of a pro wrestling ring announcer on the independent circuit. Find out what it was like to announce some of the greatest stars in pro wrestling history and the funny stories behind the scenes. And we wrap it all up with old school wrestling music. So tune in to Beyond the Bell each and every week on the SNS Radio Network. And I'll see you at the matches. It's go time.
Hey guys, this is Ashley.
And this is Sandro.
And we're here to make sure that you check out the whole indie show each week on the SNS Radio Network, as both of us, along with our other co-host Randy, cover everything that you need to know on all things indie wrestling.
It's your place for all the most recent indie news and event results, reviews of the latest shows from all the major promotions, and previews for all the upcoming events. We also want your feedback on any indie stuff you may have seen as well.
Plus, you know, you never know. You might even get a few paperclip references now and then. So for all that and much more, listen to The Whole Indie Show every week here on the SNS Radio Network.
Have theories or ideas to brainstorm on the subject of pro wrestling that doesn't fit anywhere else? Do you like hearing about those same ideas on a public platform? Or do you just like hearing rants from someone on the West Coast? Then Running the Ropes is for you. Every week, join host Brian Maverick Bertrand as he covers the spectrum of professional wrestling in a controlled forum full of wrestling's biggest politics, conspiracies, and recaps from the biggest shows. So get in the ring and start Running the Ropes live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey everybody, this is the Bronx Father to tell you about the Get in the Zone podcast every weekend right here on the SNS Radio Network with myself, my co-host Anthony Farley, and bringing you the TNA recap.
No! God, please, no! No!
L-Train. We also cover SmackDown, some news, and you might even get moments like this.
Oh, my brother! Testify!
Wow.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my God. Wow, that wasn't half bad.
What the f***?
To quote... See, since I'm imitating D-Von tonight, I might as well run the gamut of black wrestlers and go with Booker T. Tell me I did not just hear that.
It's one of those things to edit. To edit or not to edit, that is the question.
For the reaction Anthony's giving, you cannot edit this one.
Oh, shit. Anthony's dead. He's just done. Oh, we might as well just end the show right now. So, check out the archive every single weekend and drop us an email anytime, snsgetinthezone@gmail.com, right here on the SNS Radio Network.
Did you dig that?
This is Governor Jesse Ventura, and you're listening to Unplugged on the SNS Radio Network. Keep listening.
I'm a real wild one. Wild one.
And now back to the show, and two guys with delusions of grandeur, the Bronx Father, Tony J. Mirabella, and Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson.
Well, I don't know, I'm not feeling too wild right now. Glad JJ's in the chat. My co-host is with me here in spirit. Welcome back to Unplugged right here on the SNS Radio Network. I am, of course, Bronxzilla, going solo tonight on hump night, hump day, hump night. Whatever, there's a hump. I don't know what kind of hump. I don't know whose hump. Quasimodo might be co-hosting with me. Oh, speaking of which, we're going to dive into the NXT recap. And I actually have a guy who kind of resembles Quasimodo here on the line. He's my co-host every Saturday on Get in the Zone. And he's also our NXT recapper. Give a warm Wednesday welcome. Three W's. I like that. To Anthony Farley. What's going on, partner?
Hey there, Bronx. I'm very funny with the Quasimodo joke. Very funny.
I don't know, man. Are you hunchback? I've never seen a full picture.
No, I'm not. But after what we said during Getting the Zone, I'm surprised we won't probably walk with a limp after Samojo gets us.
Yeah, I went back and listened to that. I'm a little bit worried about that. I just don't want that crazy motherfucker. Well, at least I'm in New York and you're in California, so he can't get both of us at once. So whoever Joe's going to kill you, you know, I can warn you from the emergency room or you can warn me. So we'll have to see, man. I don't know. All the shit we've been talking about, Batista and fucking... You know, Brock Lesnar and fucking Samoa Joe, not three of the nicest guys, but are you ready to do your duty and give us what happened on NXT this past week?
I'll try.
You better not try. You better fucking do it. I've had enough problems tonight. Don't start shit with me. All right, man, let's kick this off. The NXT recap only here on Unplugged. Here's Farley.
All right. We start off this week's episode of NXT with a non-title match between the NXT Women's Champion Paige versus Sasha Banks, who has Charlotte in their corner. The match is pretty... Paige starts off pretty offensive, hitting headbutts, kicks, and all that, but after getting her legs caught in the rope, Sasha was able to rebound and actually use a Japanese straitjacket submission to get control. But after getting hit with a couple back elbows in the corner and two short arm clotheslines, Paige was able to hook on the scorpion crosslock to get the submission. Charlotte would then attack her though after the match, but will run out of the ring after Natalya comes for the save. We then get a recap from last week's show where Corey Graves was complaining about him not being on the NXT arrival, which led to a match between him and Sami Zayn where Zayn won the match. We then had where Zayn's interviewed afterwards where he's saying he had no issues with Graves beforehand, and for someone who's claimed not to win that many matches, he won this one and he still has no issues with Graves. We then have a recap of Mojo Riley's match from Arrival before we see him in the backstage saying it's showing just the beginning. We now have another non-title match, this time with the Ascension going against Travis Tyler and Kyle Bishop. Victor starts right away hitting a rolling shoulder tackle to Tyler before tagging out to Connor, who does the same. Tyler's just beating the shit out of until he's finally able just to get a tag out to Bishop. They try to work on Victor's arm, but in the end, they're just decimated when they get Tyler's hit with the Fallen Man to give the Ascension this non-title win. We then have Mason Ryan versus Wesley Blake. Right off, we had a better than Batista chant for Mason, which I found was pretty fun. Surprisingly, Wesley had a good amount of offense in this match, even with going for a crossbody, but unfortunately, Ryan catches him and turns it to a power slam. He gets then a hot shot over the top rope, followed by a running boot, allowing Mason to hit a Cobra Clutch slam for the pin. We then go backstage where Devin Taylor's talking to Bailey about the network that came out. Says he's so excited for that, but then the BFFs come out and just start really making fun of her and all that, but she just turns it around. It goes back and forth for a bit until Natalya comes in and backs up Bailey. There's heated words exchanged between Natalya and Charlotte, basically insulting each other's family members, Bret Hart, Ric Flair. But nothing really happens as Charlotte leaves. We then have Xavier Woods versus Alexander Rusev with Lana. Before the match came to start, Tyler Breeze comes out and saying that he's not friends with Woods, but after what happened between them during the ride when Rusev interfered, he wants to get his revenge. So he's asking Woods just to get out of the ring. This then will have Rusev coming out to the ring, but as they're looking on, Breeze will attack Woods from behind, and then gets out of the ring, allowing basically Rusev just to dominate Xavier from beginning to end. And even though Woods was trying to come back with some forearms and all that, he's taken out by elevated Samoan drop, which kind of looked botched. But in the end, he gets hooked onto the Accolade. They have no choice but to tap out to Rusev. We then have an interview with Adrian Neville, the NXT champion, about having his rematch with Bo Dallas, which is in 2 weeks. Before he can really even say nothing, Dallas comes out and saying that when we have our match, I'm getting the belt back for all my Bo Leavers. And he's just sick of Neville. Neville's response is just a simple slap in the face. The two stare off for a bit until Dallas just walks off. We then have the main event, which is Bo Dallas versus Colin Cassidy. Cassidy has control in the match, beginning using his power by basically knocking Dallas down with them all the time when they locked up or shoulder tackles. But until he finally was able to drop Cassidy over the top rope and use a cravat to keep the momentum on his side. Cassidy would try to turn it around with a knee to the gut, but getting hit from a clothesline from the rope stopped that. And Dallas was able to get a two count because of it. Dallas would then go for a couple of his short arm back elbows before delivering a short arm clothesline that got him another two. Cassidy was able to come back briefly with by reversing the Irish whip to the corner and then hitting a big boot to the face that got him a near fall. When Dallas then goes to the ropes just trying to save himself, Cassidy goes for him, but Dallas rakes him in the eyes, hits a big boot to the side of the head, and allows him to hit a double arm DDT to get the three. In my opinion, this was an okay show, not as good as last week's show, but it was pretty good to elevate the Bo Dallas before his return match in 2 weeks. And I liked what they did with Mason Ryan here. I definitely think he has potential if they do right with him. Same thing with Wesley Blake. But with the Ascension, I gotta say, they gotta do something with them, because just doing these dominating teams over and over and over are not doing anything for them. And I'm somewhat liking what they're doing with Charlotte, elevating her a little bit more in the NXT Women's Division. And that's my NXT recap.
Okay, man, good job. It sounds like it was, I didn't get to see NXT this week. Sounds like it was a good show. I want to ask you something, because you and, excuse me, of course, JJ been watching NXT longer than I have, and I've seen the Ascension in a couple matches. What do you think about this rumor? Do you think they're ready for Mania?
Mania, I'm not so sure about that. I mean, with Kane, which is he's real good in the ring. I think he'll probably be doing the most offense if they do that. But from what apparently looks like, it might not be the Ascension. It might be the Outlaws going in with Kane against the Shield. Which I'm like, yeah, I would have been okay if they did the rematch between the Outlaws and Usos at Mania for the tag belts. But we don't know if that's happening.
Well, I mean, they're forwarding this whole thing between Kane and the Shield, and the thing is, at some point, Kane's gotten his ass kicked a few times by the Shield. Now, he needs help. Like I said earlier, he's not going to be able to take these motherfuckers by himself.
Oh yeah, definitely. But they have to do something with the Ascension, because more times than not, they've been just facing makeshift team over and over and over. It's like, okay, what's the deal? God. I mean, the last really established team they faced off for a while was Junico and Camacho.
Yeah, I mean, I would, and there's not a lot of time either. We've got, what, two Raws before Mania?
Yeah, in my opinion, they're doing pretty good with the main matches here and there, but it's the undercard they got to start working on.
Yeah, true. I agree. And I also heard, well, I'll get into this more later in my thoughts on it. I also heard that they're thinking of making, or this was just a rumor, this isn't news, that the fucking 30 man might be the pre-show. Are you fucking kidding me?
No, I'm saying this should be probably the first match or even the second match in the pay-per-view portion of WrestleMania. Not the pre-show, but the actual pay-per-view.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I can't see, as much as they're hyping this, I think it's bullshit. I think you got to have the match on the pay-per-view. I mean, and not only that, the pre-show is 30 minutes. I would like this, well, it may not go longer than 30 minutes. It's not the fucking Royal Rumble, but it looks like they're really pushing this fucking Andre. I didn't mean it to sound that way. They're really pushing this Andre Battle Royal, and they're pushing that trophy. And I think that whoever wins that trophy is going to have some prestige for a little bit, going to be carrying it around, going to be bragging about it, as they should. So it's a pretty important match, and it should happen, without a doubt, at the beginning of WrestleMania. Be a good way to open it.
Yeah, and I'm saying they wanted to do something with NXT for WrestleMania. Have an NXT title match as the pre-show match.
Yeah, I agree.
Do like Adrian Neville versus two or three guys in an elimination match.
Yeah, I mean, they should do something for NXT. I mean, I think you could. It's Mania's 4 hours, and as it is right now, it doesn't look like they're going to be able to fill 4 hours. I mean, you've got 90 minutes taken care of with Taker's entrance, but I don't know. For the other 2.5 hours, I don't know where we go.
Yeah, they're going to also have the inductions, the people who are in the Hall of Fame come out like they do every year and all that. Some big opening intros for like John Cena and all that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, everyone usually gets Triple H is probably going to come out on his throne again. You know, who knows?
With dry ice on his skin.
I remember that. That was too fucking much. Oh, man, I don't know.
But like I said, the main matches for WrestleMania look real good right now. I mean, the Undertaker Lesnar match, I'm like, But I'm saying if they're given a chance, these guys can probably have a decent match. But it's like the undercard. They really got to establish that now. Have like, even though the guys are in the Battle Royal, have them in the regular matches. We even talked about it during Get in the Zone. Have Dolph Ziggler versus Dolph Ziggler and Alberto Del Rio in like in a 2 out of 3 falls match.
Yeah, hell yeah. I could see that. I think the next two Raws, we're going to get our answer in the SmackDowns as well. But Anthony, thanks a lot, man. Good job on the NXT recap. And hopefully the three of us will get back together. Well, you and I will get back together for Get in the Zone. And hopefully me, you, and Jeff will get back next week for more Unplugged, man. Thanks a lot.
No problem. See ya.
Take care, bud. All right. So that was it for NXT, man. Sounds like it was a good show. Again, just don't have time sometimes to catch NXT, man. I'm sorry, but glad we have Anthony to cover all the bases for us. To cover some more bases, it's about time to break into a little bit of news. Sponsored, of course, by wrestling-online.com. And if you guys want to hear news during the week, it's real easy. Go to wrestling-online.com and sign up for their ginormous fucking newsletter, which comes to you several times a week, right in your inbox. You don't have to go to all those websites. And Colin Vassallo, he scared the shit out of me this week. I'm not going to get into it, but he showed me something on Facebook that was kind of, well, disturbing. Thanks, Colin. Let's get into some news.
And now it's time for the news, sponsored by wrestling-online.com.
Now, I know everybody is so upset at how little content WWE tends to put out, but fear not. They're going to make up for it. The WrestleMania pre-show will not be 30 minutes or 60 minutes as in previous years, but no, a whopping 2 hours. WWE Today announced that a supersized WrestleMania 30 pre-show will air live, with the first hour starting at 5 p.m. Eastern and airing only on the WWE app, WWE.com, YouTube, and Facebook. And then at 6 p.m. Eastern, the pre-show will move over exclusively to the WWE Network. Now, that's going to get kind of confusing. The first hour will only feature analysis of the show from the yet-to-be-announced panel and interviews, while the second hour will also feature a pre-show match. It is going to be a very busy day for the WWE production team, as with the 4 hours of pay-per-view, they are now looking at 6 hours of straight live programming. 6 hours. That's a lot of time, man, to invest in watching the product, man. 6 hours, I don't know. I mean, I've got no problem with an hour pre-show. I usually don't watch the pre-shows. That's just me. I know a lot of people do. I know they want to push you to buy WrestleMania if you haven't, or maybe even, you know, sign up for the network. You know, one thing I'm kind of worried about, and this pre-show just kind of made this pop into my head. They're preparing to get their shit ready to get WrestleMania streaming fine on the network. But I hope they're also considering the several people who may not have the network right now and may just sign up a couple minutes before Mania so they can watch it. Something to think about. Quoting the latest, here's something else to think about, quoting the latest WWE SEC filings, which I assume it means Security and Exchange Commission, the Hartford Current newspaper is reporting that Vince McMahon took a 30% pay cut last year, getting $1.7 million in salary, down $732,000 from the previous year. The $750,000 less in salary, however, is not really affecting McMahon, as his and his wife's WWE stocks generated an additional, check this out, guys, $677 million since the start of the new year and the recent spike on Wall Street. No, not Spike TV, the spike on Wall Street. The company's stock jumped, wow, 50% from the end of 2013 to now among many rumors and the start of the WWE network. So if nothing else, the network is making them money. I mean, shit. Company's worth about $2 billion fucking dollars now, man. $2 billion. I can't even fathom it. Billions of dollars. Billions of dollars. They should just have Titus O'Neil come out at the fucking stock exchange and say billions of dollars, billions of dollars. Unreal. Now, you guys need to listen up to this one. The WWE Network's free trial will be ending on Saturday, March 22nd, and it's the last chance to try out the product for free, most likely until the summer. Those who took the free trial already but decided not to take a subscription are also being offered a second week free via an email from the WWE, as the company hopes for a six-month commitment the second time around. If you decide to take the free trial, WWE will charge you $9.99 on your credit card. However, you will be refunded if you cancel before the trial ends. Now, I can confirm that. When you sign up for the trial, they hit up your credit card immediately. Whether it's your card, your PayPal, however you did it, you get charged the $9.99, you get your free trial, and if you cancel, you get the money back. Now, I can either confirm or deny, but it's been my experience that whenever I'm due a refund, I fucking have to wait forever. You know, when you pay something, they take it out immediately. Refunds, not so much. You're on their time. But hopefully WWE will do the right thing. I'm locked in already, so I'm not really worried about it. But for those of you who maybe don't want the network anymore after giving it a shot, well, there you go. You'll get your money back. On some bad news, some bad news, Raw this week drew 4,075,000 in total viewers, down 294,000 viewers from last week's show. Hour one did 4,001,000 viewers, followed by 4,174,000 in the second hour and 4,051,000 in the third and final hour. They apparently didn't count the 75-hour fucking overrun. Raw drew the lowest number of total viewers since the December 23rd, 2013 episode, which would have been the one right before Christmas. Wow. You know, we got into it on Facebook today, a few of us, about how much do the ratings really mean at this point. With the network now and the rating system the way it is, I don't think WWE really gives a fuck. Look, they're worth $2 billion. They're raking in the dough. I'm kind of thinking that they're not as into the ratings as they were. Because I think in the back of Vince McMahon's mind, excuse me, if at some point he can't get a deal with a network, which to me is completely unfucking fathomable, whether it's USA, whether it's Spike, whether it's NBC, no matter who it is, Vince McMahon always knows he's got his own network now. I know the last thing he'll want to do is have Raw and SmackDown be internet only, but the ball is still in his court. I can't explain the ratings. I don't recall what else was on Monday night of any importance. But I found it interesting that the ratings would be that low, because it was a good show. It wasn't a bad show at all last week either. So I don't know what's going on. I still think the fucking length. I don't care what anybody says. The length is just kind of killing it, at least for me. You know, 3 hours was one thing. Now you got 10, you know, 15, 20 minute fucking overruns. I mean, it's a little bit too much. I love Raw, but not that freaking much. Now, our last story, TNA Hall of Famer and... I'm sorry. It's hard to say that without chuckling. Excuse me. Sad Hall of Famer and former champion Sting. Listen to this, guys. He's going to be in New Orleans on WrestleMania Sunday. However, he will be at the WrestleCon event rather than on screen at the big pay-per-view. Merchandise website HighSpots.com announced that the Stinger will be their guest at WrestleCon, taking photographs and signing autographs from 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. on Sunday, April 6th. There are only 250 tickets available to get up close with Sting, and they will sell for $99 each, which includes a photo op and an autograph. You will also need a WrestleCon entrance ticket. For more info, go to WrestleCon.com. So let me get this straight. And I mean, I like Sting. Don't get me wrong. I love Sting. I'm a Sting fan. But you want to pay whatever it's going to cost to get into WrestleCon. I've never been to WrestleCon. I have no idea what the entrance fee is. Plus, on top of that, another $99 for a picture and an autograph and a quick meet and greet. I know the internet's going nuts. Everyone's talking about, oh, this is a sign. It's a sign that Sting is going to be in the WWE sooner rather than later. I think he is, but from what I understand, WrestleCon has absolutely nothing to do with WrestleMania. I mean, it's High Spots, and we know about High Spots before. They're a long-standing, very reputable site. But, I mean, wow, $99. I got $99, but a Sting ain't one. I don't know, man. That's a lot of money. And, you know, Sting, he's obviously not going to be at Mania. They would have announced it already. I don't know, man. You know, the whole Sting thing, there are a couple things in wrestling at this point that are really getting me, like, that I'm getting tired of hearing them. It's like the whole CM Punk thing being a work. Well, if it's a work, they kicked his ass out of the Scooby-Doo movie, so it ain't a work. You know, Sting and Taker, that's all everybody talks about. Not going to happen this year. And the way Taker looks, man, you know, the 60-year-old virgin, I don't know if he can put on the makeup and put on the fucking mascara and dye the hair and the beard and go this year, what's another 12 months going to do? So once again, let the speculation start around, December, January, unless Sting turns up before then. Some people had told me today, I'd spoken to on Facebook, were like, oh, well, maybe he'll show up at SummerSlam. Who cares? I mean, what does it do having Sting at SummerSlam? It would still be huge, but it ain't going to be Sting fucking Undertaker at SummerSlam. Unless they want Sting to go over first. Here's a theory. Imagine if Sting did get in before SummerSlam, and let's say he and Taker, I know you're going to say I'm high, but let's say you had Sting and Taker at SummerSlam. Taker has never had a problem losing at any other pay-per-view. In fact, usually Undertaker gets his ass kicked at every other pay-per-view, but Mania. Imagine Sting goes over at SummerSlam, it's huge. And then Taker has to get revenge at WrestleMania. But Sting being at this event, it's interesting. He's going to make some money, hopefully. And maybe in a backwards way, this is a sign. I don't know, man. But I mean, between the Sting rumors, the Punk rumors, it's all about rumors. It's driving me crazy. But I mean, I'm more excited about Mania now than I have been in a long time, in the last few weeks anyway. It started off looking like shit. This 30-man battle royal that they've added is really hyped it up. Cena, Bray Wyatt's going to be fucking sick. I cannot wait. And it's going to be fun to see what shenanigans we have. If there's going to be a triple threat, well, there is, but is it going to be Triple H? Or is it going to be Bryan? If it's Triple H, I think a lot of people will turn off the fucking pay-per-view before the main event, because I don't think any of us here want to see that. But what we're going to see now is we're going to take our final commercial break. Now, guys, I'm going to come back, and it's up to you to have some participation. You can send us an email to snsradiounplugged@yahoo.ca. And I'm going to open the phone lines. I know we haven't taken some calls in a while, guys. So help the Bronxzilla out here and call us at 501-588-7957 right on the other side of this break. And you're listening to Unplugged right here. The Bronx Fathers all by himself, because he doesn't exist anymore. I am Bronxzilla, and I'm also all by myself when we come back with more Unplugged.
Hey guys, it's me, Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson. And make sure you're checking out SNS Unplugged each and every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, as myself and Bronxzilla, Tony J. Mirabella, bring you the latest news of the week, sponsored by Wrestling-Online.com, the NXT Rewind with Anthony Farley, everything that went down on Raw via the Raw Reaction, plus your phone calls and emails, and you never know what craziness might happen on the show. Once again, every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, SNS Unplugged, exclusively on the SNS Radio Network, www.snsradionetwork.com. It's unscripted, uncensored, unbelievable. It's Unplugged.
Each and every midweek with Chuck W. And each weekend with William Walkie Walker and Mindwipe. Exclusively on the SNS Radio Network and the Chris Jones Gaming Network. Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
Phenomenal AJ Styles, and you're listening to Unplugged on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey
Hey there, listeners of the SNS Radio Network, Mindwipe here from the Elite Force podcast, reminding you that when there is no live show or podcast airing, there is our wonderful little jukebox feature we have on the SNS Live page. Simply go to the website, pick a track you want to listen to, and then wait for it to come up. It's just like being in a bar and having a jukebox, except you don't have to pay for it. Additionally, don't forget, you can tune in to all the great shows on the SNS Radio Network Live, including all the live shows and podcasts, via TuneIn, The World's Radio, and Stitcher Smart Radio. Just go to either of those, download them to your mobile app or tablet, and search for SNS. There you go, folks. How much simpler could it be? A jukebox, live shows, podcasts, mobile access, everything you could ever want, right here on the SNS Radio Network.
Now back to the show with the Bronx Father and Mr. Money on the Mic.
Listen to the radio, don't you remember?
We built this city on rock and roll. All right, guys, welcome back to Unplugged right here on the SNS Radio Network. I am Bronxzilla going solo, and before we get into some other things, your phone calls, your emails, I do want both. SNS Radio Unplugged at yahoo.ca. Fire off an email if you'd like. And I'll open the phone lines in just a bit. As soon as I read this other news story that just popped into my head that I remembered. The number, of course, is 501-588-7957 if you want to drop us a phone call. Tell me what you think about Mania. Tell me what you think about anything, Raw. This is from ProWrestling.net, and I think it was, I have to credit, I believe it was Sandro from the Whole Indie Show, posted this on Facebook the other day, and I just remembered it now because of how humorous it is. Sad Wrestling, or TNA, are going to run three shows in the Hammerstein Ballroom in the summer at a big cost. Jason Powell over at ProWrestling.net is reporting that TNA will be running three shows in the Hammerstein Ballroom right here in my backyard, New York, over the summer. The Hammerstein Ballroom, in case you guys don't know, you'll remember the name. It used to hold the old ECW one-night stand shows as well as classic ECW events over the years. Now, Mr. Powell's source is reporting that TNA have paid $300,000 to be able to rent the arena and host production. This is obviously a rather major figure, especially considering TNA's financial situation, which has been questioned largely over the past few months. The other note is that the three shows are set to take place over 3 months, with one in June, one in July, one in August. Sad Wrestling and Spike TV have not signed up for another TV deal, possibly due to the WWE deal still being negotiated and some of TNA's key ratings remaining the same as when previously citing the deal. It should be noted that the last time TNA and Spike TV did sign a TV deal, they wanted to improve ratings and viewership as a key aim. This obviously hasn't happened over time, as noted on .net. One wonders whether this is an attempt to potentially impress Spike TV. $300,000? I mean, really? You couldn't fucking, excuse me, pay AJ Styles. You know, you're letting other guys go by the droves. You want people to take fucking pay cuts. And you're going to pay $300,000. Now, think about what has to happen for them to break even. I did the math the other day. Don't have it in front of me. But what the fuck are you going to charge for tickets? I just don't know. Coming to a venue like like New York City. That is a huge freaking venue to try to cover. I don't see them breaking even. I can't possibly see how they can freaking break even. What is wrong with these people? Seriously, what the hell is wrong with these people? I just don't get it. It would be interesting to see how they do. I'm just going to be interested to see how they do. I haven't read any type of advertisement for this for the summer. Didn't know about it until Sandro brought it to my attention. And wow, it's just another fucking slap in the face to the people that you don't want to pay. To spend this kind of fucking money for three shows, and you're going to have to make $100,000 a show to break even. Good luck. Good luck. It's just sad. Just sad. This company continues to do things that make no motherfucking sense. I'm going to read some emails now and open the phone lines. I do have an email. While I'm reading this, if you guys would like to call, once again, 501-588-7957. Long distance charges may apply. If you want to avoid long distance charges and you have Skype, simply add Sunday Night Showdown to your Skype. But let's read some emails.
If I can be serious for a minute, without being interrupted.
Kentucky Long Rifle, what is that, an email?
Can I have your attention, please? I've just received an email.
All right, our first email comes from Lewis Sanders. And JJ Bronxy, good evening. New type of email titled Tipsy Bullets. No flow or reason to this, just shit I wrote down on a notepad over the last few days. This could change the face of Unplugged emails or go down in flames. Read, react, and just have fun with it. First, Bad News Bane won't come back until he's a main event host. Fuck him. He's gone. New segment, 45 to 60 seconds long each week, called Brock Smash. Give Brock a topic and let him go. From wrestling to sports to movies to geopolitical situations. First week's episode, Selena Gomez. Would she make a good Secretary of State? Go Brock. Wow. Second, the New Age Outlaws. Check out their profile pics on WWE.com. They're like from 1996. Fuck that, guys. Embrace your old age. Third, congrats to the Usos. But why is it that every single Samoan in the world seems to be related to The Rock? I'm convinced the Isle of Samoa is made up of only 30 people. The views of this emailer do not reflect the views of Unplugged or the SNS Radio Network. Fourth, CM Punk. Fuck that guy. Fifth, am I the only one who thinks that after half a bottle of wine, Dixie Carter is hot as hell? Sixth, Batista. Fuck that guy. Seventh, Jeff Hardy Willow promos. His main props is a Callaway golf umbrella. Jesus Christ. Eighth, Triple H, if you're not going to do the pedigree properly anymore, please stop doing it. It doesn't look imposing anymore the way you don't go to your knees. Okay, I get it. You blew out your quads. Well, when a ball player gets old and can't play outfield anymore, he adjusts his game and learns to play first base. Do it right or get a new finisher. Ninth, we leave Raw with Brian handcuffed, not totally coherent, not wearing pants on TV in Texas. I thought this was WWE, not cops. Finally, Eva Marie. Fuck that guy. Thanks, guys. Until next time, I'm the Lou, and I'm better than you. Woo. By the way, if you're reading this, I'm at SmackDown right now in Houston. Wow. Lou's emails have become one of my highlights. I don't even know where to begin. The New Age Outlaws profile pics, well, they're old. I mean, what could I tell you? They're old. I mean, shit. I guess they don't want to show how old they are on the website. And congrats to the Usos. As far as the Samoan stuff he mentioned, I have no idea about the genetics on the island of Samoa. I don't know. CM Punk, fuck that guy. I agree. Dixie Carter, I think, is hot, even if you don't drink some wine. I mean, don't get me wrong. I can't stand the voice. As long as she wears some type of muzzle, I'm down with it. Jeff Hardy's Willow promos, the Callaway Golf Umbrella, I don't get it. The pedigree, I'm wondering, I know he's been doing it different for a while now, but I think Monday night he really tried to be very careful, simply for the fact that there was no way Brian could protect himself. I mean, I mentioned it earlier, I just don't fucking know how Brian was able to take those moves handcuffed behind his back, because you are completely relying on a guy like Triple H to protect you in every way possible. I mean, it is what it is. So I don't know if maybe that's why that pedigree to me looked very, very safe. But, I mean, I get that. Prison rape, no. Eva Marie, fuck that guy. I agree. Fuck him. But good email, Lou. I thank you very much. There are no more emails in front of me right now. The phone lines are still open, guys. If you want to call in, do so. Or else, I'm going to start wrapping things up. It's been a really, really rough night. Like I said, man, it's a conspiracy. Somebody out there has it in for Unplugged, and I don't know who. But, I mean, I'm just... I still can't get over that TNA story, man. Just, wow. $300,000. CM Punk. What would his show be without talking some CM Punk? I mentioned earlier how he's stricken from the Scooby-Doo movie. By the way, quite a few people keep telling me that that movie is pretty good. I might have to find a way to check that out. Because I hear it's very well done. We'll have to see. But Punk, I mean, he's done. I hate to even continue talking about this guy. He ain't coming back. It's not a work. They're shitting all over him on Raw now. It's blatant. And the anger seems genuine. You know, it almost seemed to me on Raw that beating was meant for Punk. Does that make sense to anybody? It was almost like Triple H was doing to Brian what he would like to have done to Punk. And the same thing goes for Stephanie. It seems to me as if the one person who is completely benefiting from Punk being gone is Daniel Bryan. I almost think somewhere back in his mind, if Daniel Bryan has a dark side, and we all do, somewhere in the back of his mind, he's got to be absolutely fucking thrilled that CM Punk is gone. Because it makes me wonder, if Punk had stayed, what Bryan's position would have been at WrestleMania. I don't think any of this was planned originally. Punk, we all know, was supposed to be the one to fight Triple H. And now it's going to be Daniel Bryan instead. And if the stars align correctly and all goes well, it looks very much like Daniel Bryan's going to win. I can't see any way around it. If they don't send people home happy at Mania, it's going to be a huge disappointment. You know, I said it before, I said it again. This Mania has the potential to be very great or absolutely shitty. So we're going to have to wait and see. Well, guys, there are no phone calls. There are no more emails. I think I've covered everything I possibly can that's gone on in wrestling this week, that's gone on in WWE, what's going on in TNA, sad wrestling. The answer to that is not a whole lot. So, hopefully next week, Jeff will be back with me. We'll have the players fixed so you guys can listen on the website. And all that stuff will be taken care of. Speaking of the website, make sure you head over to snsradionetwork.com. We do have a donate button. Whatever you can afford, if you'd like to donate, to make sure that we can keep bringing you shows every week and bring you all the podcasts. Go there. Throw us a little bit of a donation. We'd appreciate it very much. It goes for our equipment. It goes for the website. It goes for the stream, the Skype, and it keeps us trucking on. So please check it out. Once again, snsradionetwork.com. The button's right on the right side of the page. So now comes the time of the show that I hate the most. Well, at least I played the right one this time. Guys, thank you for being with me tonight. Thanks for listening to the show. Lou, thanks for the fucking email. Just had put a smile on my face, man. I appreciate it very much. Make sure you're giving props to all the other shows here on the SNS Radio Network. We have every weekend the archive of Get in the Zone podcast with myself, Anthony Farley, L Train. We talk SmackDown. We talk sad wrestling. We talk about whatever the hell we want. Real news, crazy news, wrestling news, whatever. The whole indie show every week. If you're an independent wrestling fan, you definitely need to check out the whole indie show. They'll tell you about what's going on in Japan, Ring of Honor, Chikara. Anything that's not WWE or completely sad, they'll bring it to you. Running the Ropes, hopefully Mav gets his problems straightened out and he's back as soon as possible. The Elite Force Podcast, midweek edition, weekend edition. Check that out. SNS Sticks and Flicks with Ashley. Talks about movies, talks about gaming. Beyond the Bell with Sean Beckerman. Every single week he brings us here on Unplugged the day in wrestling history. If you can't get enough and you want some more wrestling history, check out Beyond the Bell every week on the SNS Radio Network. If you want to send emails to the shows, snsradiounplugged@yahoo.ca. You don't have to wait till the night of the show. snsgetinthezone@gmail.com. Once again, check out the emails, snsradionetwork.com tells you how to contact all the shows so you don't have to wait till they're live. Take care, guys. Thanks a lot. Happy trails.
Who cares about the clouds when we're together?
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails
to you
till we meet again.
Tell me where to go, tell me what to do. I'll be right there for you. Tell me what to say, no matter if it's true. I'll say it all for you.
I used to be the type of kid that would always think the sky is falling. Why am I so differently wired? Am I a Martian? What kind of twisted experiment am I involved in? Cause I don't belong in this world. That's why I'm scoffing at authority, defiant often. Flying off with the handle at my mom, no dad. So I am non-compliant at home. At school, I'm just shying awkward. And I don't need no goddamn psychologist trying to diagnose why I have all these underlying problems, thinking he can try and solve them. I'm outside chalking up drawings on the sidewalk and in the front drive talking to myself. Either that or inside hiding off in the corner somewhere quiet,
trying not to be noticed, cause I'm crying and sobbing. I had a bad day at school, so I ain't talking. Some cocksucker shoved me into a fucking locker, cause he said that I eyeballed him. Would always think the sky is falling. Why am I so differently wired? Am I noggin? Cause sporadic as my thoughts come, it's mind-boggling. Cause I obsess on everything. In my mind, small shit bothers me. But now my father, he's a cyanarvid and split. But I don't give a shit. I'm fine long as there's batteries in my Walkman. Nothing's the matter with me. Shit, look on the bright side. At least I ain't walking. I bike ride through the neighborhood of my apartment complex on a 10-speed, which I've acquired parts that I find in the garbage. A frame, then put tires on it. Headphones on it, straight ahead of kids. Try and start shit. But if this is all there is for me, life offers, why bother even trying to put up a fight? It's nonsense, but I think a light bulb just lit up in my conscience. What about them rhymes I've been jotting that kinda giving me confidence instead of trying to escape through my comics? Why don't I just blast a little something like Onyx to put me in the mood to wanna fight and write songs that say what I wanna say to the kid that said that I eyeballed him? Grab hold of my balls like that's right, fight's on, bitch. From the moment I turn the mic on, that I could be iconic in my conquest. It's worth a fight dog from a tribe conquest.
This is my legacy, legacy.
Would always think the sky is falling. Now I think the fact that I'm differently wired's awesome. Cause if I wasn't, I wouldn't be able to work words like this and connect lines like crosswords and use my enemy's words of strength to try and draw from and get inspired off them. Cause all my life I was told and taught I am not shit by you whack fucking giant sacks of lying dog shit. Now you shut up, bitch, I am talking. Thought I was full of horseshit and now you fucking worship the ground in which I am walking. Me against the world, so what? I'm Brian Dawkins versus the Hollow and 16 Lions offense. So bring on the Giants, Falcons, and Miami Dolphins. It's the body bag game, bitch, I'm supplying coffins. Cause you dicks butt kiss, bunch of Brian Baldingers. You gon' diabolica, I've been diabolical with this dialogue since 99 Rockets. You don't respect the legacy I leave behind, y'all can suck a dick. The day you beat me, pigs will fly out my ass in a flying saucer full of Italian sausage. Exalting and I ain't halting till I die of exhausted in hell. My exhaust fumes. The best part about me is I am not you, I'm me, and I'm the fire marshal. And this is my
legacy, legacy.
Fuck you, fuck you, you're cool, and fuck you, I'm out.